Today we begin a new series of messages. We finished 1 Corinthians last time we were together, and we're looking at kind of the theme that I wrote the book regarding, others, living a faith that endures. As you look at the cover of the book that I put up there on the screen, you notice one road is smooth. And the other road is kind of going a little uphill, and it's covered with roots and things. And sometimes that's the road that I've been on. And sometimes you go on one for a while, and then you go on the other for a while. I copied the introduction on the back of the outline this morning for you. This book has come out of a decades-long struggle in my mind. I've seen and witnessed through being a pastor the believers' experience of great deliverance. Some have had tremendous answers to prayer and even healing of their physical bodies. Yet some were not delivered, were not healed, suffered for a long time with various difficulties and troubles. Was the faith of the troubled group somehow less than the faith of the smooth road group? Were somehow the others second class Christians? Well, I've come to a passage in the book of Hebrews that is in chapter 11 that opened up a whole new understanding for me. And I'm going to read a few verses from Hebrews, and then we'll get to the book of Job. Hebrews 11, verses 33 to 37. We're plunging down in the middle of the listing of the heroes of the faith, verse 33, by faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. So we learn from Scripture that the same sovereign, loving God that delivers His children from tragedy also allows His dear ones to experience tragedy. The same God who delivers from the fire allows some of us to go through the fire. The same God who spares from death also takes some of His children home sooner. The road of life sometimes is clear and smooth, but other times it is difficult and full of obstacles. What I'd like for you to do is to hang on with me as we begin this series. We're going to look at 12 biblical heroes of the faith that we call others, that can teach us how to live a faith that endures. And today we're going to start out with Job. My wife is killing me. She is saying, honey, when are you going to learn to not preach on Job? Because whenever that happens, we got to go through something. And we're going through something right now. I'd like to start reading Job chapter 1. Verses 6 to 22, as we look at Job, a faith that endures physical suffering. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, and blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands and possessions have increased in the land, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they've killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you, while he was still speaking. Another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they're all dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we don't pretend to know what Job experienced, but I pray that we would learn from what he went through and teach us, Father, how we too can have a faith that endures physical suffering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Imagine everything you own, boom, gone in one day. It's like having the stock market crash and all your savings are gone. All of his livelihood was gone. And not only that, lost all 10 of his kids. All of them were destroyed in that hurricane that hit his oldest son's house, and they were all dead. And then, of course, you know what happened in chapter 2. Chapter 2, Job was covered with boils, painful boils all over his body. He was broke. He was so in pain that the itching of those boils caused him so much torment that he took a broken piece of pottery just to scrape it. Scrape it. You know what itches like that. What do we learn from Job and others in the Bible who went through? The first lesson is physical suffering is a part of life. Job understood that in chapter 2. In verse 10, notice after he had the second tragedy happened of his physical suffering, he says this. His wife said to him in verse 9, do you still hold fast to your integrity, curse God and die? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Even back in the patriarchal days, and Job, if you would put a timeline, he would be in the time period before Abraham or somewhere way back there before the Jewish people were formed. He would be way back, and he understood that blessings come from God, but he also understood in his understanding of God and his word that sometimes God allows afflictions to come. He doesn't blame anybody else. He doesn't blame the devil. He blames and puts the idea that suffering comes from God. He knew that God loved him, and he loved his God. Yet he knew that life was not always going to be fair and favorable. Just like it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partake of Christ's sufferings. Verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, there's that phrase, you will suffer even as a Christian. Verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God. There's that phrase. Suffering sometimes is the will of God for our life. We have that. Let's commit our souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19. Suffering comes as a consequence of the fall. Arthritis, cancer, COVID-19, heart disease, diabetes, kidney failure, liver failure, COPD, Alzheimer's, and whatever sickness and whatever pain you have all comes as a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. Blame Adam. No, blame yourself. Because we were in Adam when we sinned. Mankind sinned. And as a result of the fall, pain comes. Even women would not have had pain in childbirth if it wasn't for the fall. It would have just slid right out of there. No pain at all. Wouldn't that be nice, ladies? Oh, boy. You don't want to get cute with women when they're in labor, you know. You says, oh, honey, this is nothing. Hey, replace, you get down here and do this. All of the things that happen is a result of man's sin in the garden. Another passage of Scripture that helps us to understand that physical suffering is a part of God's plan for us in this world is to look at the example of Paul and his thorn in the flesh. And I use this quite a bit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we have this passage of Scripture. Paul has something wrong, and he calls it a thorn in the flesh. And I look at that as some kind of physical suffering. Some say it was his eyes. Some say it was malaria. I don't know what it was. And it's a good thing we don't know because we say, well, I don't have that. No, it's something physical. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, it's called a messenger of Satan, and we've looked at the thorn in the flesh study on a Wednesday night. The devil is given permission, given latitude to attack us physically. But you got to remember, even the devil is God's devil. Remember that he is under the control of God. He couldn't touch us. He couldn't do a thing to us unless a sovereign, loving God allowed him that power. So a messenger of Satan was allowed by God to afflict Paul with this. And Paul pleaded 3 times to the Lord that it might depart from me. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather not have this, Paul said. I wanted it to wait. But if God is going to use this and his grace is going to be upon me more, I'm going to learn more about him, I'm going to be drawn nearer to him, then Lord, hey, I will rejoice in my infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, verse 10, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Some Christians have mistaken the idea of suffering as the way that a lot of religions, there is the force of good and there is the force of evil. There is God's power and there's the devil's power. There's the yin and the yang. There is this dualism. There is the power of good and whichever one wins. No, there's only one God. He is in control of everything that happens in the world, and he will even use the power of the devil for his own glory. But even the devil is God's devil. We need to understand that. The second thing we need to look at in this physical suffering of faith that endures this, God has a purpose for our pain. He doesn't just want his children just to suffer. Satan has a purpose too. Look at Job. I mean, we get to draw the curtain back. In Job chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it reads, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. It's all that a man has will he give for his life. But you stretch out your hand now, God, and you touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he's in your hand. Spare his life.'" Satan wants us, just as he wanted Job, to curse God. And I have found that a lot of people do that. When they lose a loved one, who do they blame? They blame the doctors, of course, and the hospital, and the nurse should have done this. But you know, they blame God. God, why did you take my loved one? God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you allow me to get cancer? Why did you allow my spouse to have this disability? And the devil is in that, folks. You know what he wants to do? He wants to put a wedge between you and your God. And that's why he uses this. That's Satan's purpose, to get you to curse God and blame God and drive a wedge between you and your Father in heaven. And many people give in to this device of the devil. But what is God's purpose? To test his servants. He wanted to test his servants. The first thing that he wanted to test Job was, and us, is to purify us. Even Job admitted this in chapter 23, verse 10. If you read the book of Job, it's a lament. Job is crying out to God, and he's saying, "Why?" And he's asking the Lord all of this, but there's times when he understands. In Job 23:10, it says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Perseverance, character. And character, hope. God wants to test us. Remember how he tested Abraham? Oh my goodness. What a test was that in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham loved God. In chapter 15, he made a covenant with God, made a covenant with Abraham, says, "I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a whole line of descent. I'm going to bless the world through you." And then in chapter 22, what does God do? He says, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, the only son you have. I want you to take him up on that mountain, Mount Moriah. And when you get there, I want you to plunge a knife into him and kill him and offer him as a burnt sacrifice." Abraham says, "You're kidding, God." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Okay, God." And he didn't feel good about it. But he was being tested. Folks, I don't know what God's trying to do in your life by allowing you to have the physical suffering, but I want you to know that he wants to use this trial to add some gold in our character. He also uses physical suffering to humble us. 2 Corinthians 12:7, and Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He acknowledged, "You know, I get all these revelations from God. You know, God tells me this, and I get to tell all of these people this. And I've had this experience of going up to the third heaven, and God spoke to me, the Lord Jesus, and all of these things. And he could have gotten full of himself. And he acknowledged that God had to give him this physical suffering so that he would realize that he's not God and he's not holy. He is a human being to humble him. And sometimes God lets us to feel whatever pain he allows us to feel to help us to understand there's only one God and I'm not him. And to humble us, taking us down a few notches. Another purpose in our suffering is to draw us nearer to him. I don't really want to do a whole series on the book of Job. That's just too long. There's 42 chapters in there. That's a lot of suffering. But at the end, chapter 42, verses 5 through 6, at the end of all of that suffering and all of the friends saying, this is why, Job, you're suffering this, and the dialogue between God and him and his friends and all of that, he comes down to chapter 42, verse 5, says, God, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent and dust and ashes. You know, Job never got an answer to his problem. Why, God? He was just saying, I'm God, and you're not. And Job got it. And he knew God more after his suffering. And folks, that's what God wants you to do in suffering. He wants to draw you to himself. I was at a pastor's meeting, fellowship between pastors and wives in Indiana one time. And I remember that sitting at our table was a dear pastor's wife named Robina, who was struggling with cancer. She was losing her hair, battling the pain, and facing the fact it was terminal. She would soon leave her children without a mother. As we were sitting at the table together with other ministry couples, Don and I were sitting there, and Robina and her husband, pastor husband, was sitting there. Another pastor at the table asked her, he had the courage to ask her, how was she able to handle this whole ordeal? Robina firmly responded, through her pain, it's only because I can still touch the hem of his garment. Her pain was only mitigated by her firm grip on Jesus. Job, Paul, and Robina teach us that our faith can endure physical affliction that the Lord allows to come into our life. He is using this pain so that he could draw us nearer and nearer to him. Let me ask you, can you still touch the hem of his garment when you're in pain? Fourth reason why God allows this sometimes is to sharpen us for ministry to others. In Job 42, verse 8, listen at the end of the book where God is addressing Job's so-called friends. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job. Offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. God will allow us to learn from our pain so that we can help others. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 tells us about that. But number 5, God uses physical suffering to prepare us for heaven. I have talked to a lot of our church people when they are getting close to the end of their life. And you know what they all say? I wish God would just take me now. And they don't really say that out of defeat. What God is doing, we're not made to live forever in this cursed world. We're made to live forever with God. And when when we start feeling that, God is getting us ready for the day that we will not. Corrie Ten Boom, you ever heard of her? She's a sweet, godly woman that passed away a long time ago, but one of the great Christian heroes of the faith who arose through the horrors of the Holocaust. She once said, "I have learned to hold things loosely so God will not have to pry them out of my hands." Sometimes that happens with our health, our physical sufferings. God begins to get us ready. Get us ready for the big house in the heaven. Let's look at number three here. God allows his children to lament. Job's lament. If you read the book of Job, you'll find several times when he goes through the grace of lament. Job 3, verse 11 to 13 says, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I should have been asleep, then I would have been at rest." Jeremiah, who was preaching to a nation that wouldn't even listen to him. He had no physical success and blessing, and they hated Jeremiah for what he prophesied. And Jeremiah was up to his armpits in a muck, and he lamented in chapter 20, verses 14 to 18, "Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, 'A male child has been born to you,' making him very glad. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame?" You say, "Well, these guys, wow, they're kind of complaining." No, they're lamenting. You look at the book of Psalms, a third of it is prayers of lament, confusion, when we express to God our sorrow and cry out to him, but also know that there's hope. What about Jesus' lament on the cross? And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I believe we can have expressions of lament to God, our expressions of lament to God. In a book by Mark Brogop, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, said there's healing power when we express our laments to God. He said that lament is how Christians grieve. Also, he said there is deep mercy under dark clouds when we discover the grace of lament. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament gives voice to the strong emotions believers experience when they are suffering. God is big enough to handle our questions of why and what are you doing, God. And we pray that knowing, with faith, knowing that he'll get us through this. Job teaches us about a faith that endures physical suffering. God promises to pour out his grace. We read in the end of the book about Job's second half. Chapter 42, verses 10 through 17. "And the Lord restored Job's losses." The stock market went back up. Hang on. It hopefully will go back up. "Restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before than all of his brothers and all of his sisters," Job's brothers and sisters, "and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Also, he had seven sons and three daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old, full of days. But you know what? He still had those 10 children that died. You can't replace a child with another child. I don't think God is expecting Job. He still had heartbreak. But God, in the middle of his heartbreak, poured out upon Job the blessing. Even Paul was poured out upon his life a supply of God's sufficient grace. So as we wrap this up, I've got three takeaways that I'd like to share with you about enduring the pain, the physical suffering, faith that endures that. Number one, sooner or later, all of us will experience physical suffering. Don't be shocked or surprised. And God has allowed it. He is sovereign. Learn to trust Him. God never says, oops, that one got through. Oh my goodness, how did that person get cancer? God, in His sovereignty, allows this. You need to understand that. Number two, we may never know the reason why. Remember that Job, in the scripture, was never told the story about the devil asking God for permission to test him. He had a sense that he was being tested. At the end, as Job questioned God, God told his servant Job, I am your God. I am your answer. Trust me. That's what Job is about. Job, at the end, is God says, just trust me. And I think that when we're trying to find a reason why, sometimes God lets us in on some understanding, but sometimes we'll never know till we get to heaven. We just have to trust a loving Father that has everything under His power. And number three, when we go through the fire of suffering, God will go with us. Remember in the book of Daniel, when Daniel's three friends were in the furnace, there was the fourth man, and his name is Jesus, and he will go with us in whatever trial we're going through. Well, the faith that endures physical suffering is sometimes on that broken road, that difficult road that sometimes many of you are going through right now. If you're not, praise God. But sooner or later, if you live long enough, you're going to die. Let's pray. Father in heaven.